As you know, Brother Scott was going to preach tonight, and he is in the midst of recovery. Hopefully he's recovering. Brother Harold was telling me that he and Dottie have both been battling flu all week long. Had another individual tell me a lot of sickness going around. Was at a doctor's house the other night and said that the hospital is pretty full of people being sick. So I guess it is what it is. But you're here, and that's what matters tonight. I'm going to say this is a pretty decent crowd for Sunday night, so thank you for being here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 10. You know, we've been in a study about how to witness the different religions, but we're going to skip that tonight, and we'll look at 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message. Father, I thank you for all who are here this evening. Just ask that you would use me as you please. Lord, I thank you for the good teachers meeting that we had. Thank you for all that has happened here today. I thank you for using people to glorify your name and bring you honor. And we want to end the day the same way, that what is done here, not only through the time of prayer and fellowship and the singing of your great hymns, but in the preaching of your word, that you would be honored. You'd be pleased with what is said tonight. Lord, we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right before I go into the message, I meant to do this morning. I did not do this. Of course, Brother Scott is here. And he has a serious issue with Lyme's disease. He was diagnosed with Lyme disease after being bit by a tick quite a while ago and was properly diagnosed, and he was treated for it. Later on, he was bitten again and this time misdiagnosed, and he went for I don't know how long, probably a number of months, and it's really created havoc for him. And so he is on a very, very specialized diet. He eats very little things that he can eat. So we have made up a list of items he cannot have, which is long, and a list of things that he can have, so that if you, through the next few months, he'll be with us through the end of July, if you decide to invite him to your house, you'll know what he can have. And when I say he begins to react, he reacts immediately. Wednesday night after the service, Debbie and I took him out to dinner, and my wife buys a Caesar salad at Applebee's. And she never eats the chicken because she can't eat much meat. So she just had the waiter just put a little plate there of the, it was supposed to be grilled chicken. And so one of the items he can eat is chicken, he can eat beef. So we said to him, well, if you want the chicken, it's grilled, you can go ahead and have it. But apparently they had grilled it in some kind of a sauce or something. And as soon as he took a bite, his mouth starts tingling. I mean, he has had some very harrowing experiences where his body just begins to react immediately. So if you do take him out, don't be afraid to do that. He knows what he can handle and what he can't at a restaurant. If you want to have him over, just some basic things that might help you. So no one's compelled to take him out. I'm not suggesting that. But if you decide to do something like that, I just don't want you to kill him. That would look really bad for our church. You know, you have an intern in for the suffering, you kill him, nobody will want to come later on. But you can think about that. And I have these lists in the foyer, in the back, and in the downstairs foyer as well. All right. So while I was in 1 Kings 10 this week, I received a blessing as I read the first 9 verses. And of course, you know, like yourself, I've read these many times, and it's always been an interesting passage to me, but I just stopped to really contemplate it, think about it, and just received a blessing. And this is kind of a simple thing tonight, but I hope it'll be as much of a blessing to you as it was to me. So we're going to read the first 9 verses of 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stone. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." I want you to notice in verse 7 that little phrase, "Behold, the half was not told me." Behold, the half was not told me. The queen had heard of the splendor there in Jerusalem, but having never been there, she exclaimed in verse 7, "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it." Now here was the blessing that came to me as I read these words this past week. One day, the king's bride is going to enter New Jerusalem.
Praise his holy name. Bless
you. Our eyes are going to behold its splendor. And our reaction will be like the Queen of Sheba's. I want you to notice back in verse 1. "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." The Queen of Sheba, some prognosticate, was the area of what is the present-day Ethiopia or possibly Yemen. And she heard of the fame of the king. And that king happened to be Solomon. Now you know already that Solomon is part of the royal lineage of another king. And that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon." So I want you to notice that the queen had heard of the fame of Solomon. But notice specifically, she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Solomon himself, this mere man, that was dearly loved of the Lord. Dearly loved of the Lord. And he loved the Lord the first half of his reign. He reigned as David reigned, with a heart for God. And we know what happened to him. But Solomon loved many outlandish women, and they were the defeat of him in his walk with the Lord. But when this queen, the Queen of Sheba, heard of Solomon, it was because of what the Lord was doing in Solomon's life. What he was doing in Solomon's life. And I want you to keep this thought in mind, that Solomon is part of that royal line, the lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we go through this. I thought about the queen, and my mind went to the Psalms, Psalm 45. I want you to go back with me to Psalm 45, and I want you to look at verse 9. This is, in my estimation, there's many beautiful psalms, But I do not believe there is any psalm that can outrank the beauty, just the sheer beauty, even in English. We're not reading Hebrew here, and I know this is Hebrew poetry, but in our English, this is just beautiful to me. And in this 45th psalm, we are looking at the king, not Solomon, not David. We're looking at Jesus. And I want you to notice verse 9 of the 45th psalm. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And then look at verse 15. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Now, if you'll give me this freedom tonight, this may not be totally correct application. But I'm looking at the Queen of Sheba as the queen that we see in the 45th Psalm. And that queen of the 45th Psalm is you. We are the bride of Christ.
Yes, sir.
We are of royal descent. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Not peculiar and odd, peculiar that you're special. You are somebody special.
Praise you, Lord.
You are royalty. Revelation 1:5 says that we are kings, or ladies, queens, and priests before our God. And as I look at this account of the Queen of Sheba, she hears of the fame of the king, of all places, in a place called Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Verse 2 tells us the queen came to Jerusalem. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. One day, you and I, the king's bride, will come to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
I'm jumping way ahead of the story in the book of Revelation, but if you would, go with me to Revelation 21. The 21st chapter of Revelation, and I want you to look at verses 9 and 10. Revelation 21, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then in this chapter and into chapter 22, God uses John to begin to express to us, in terms that we can grasp, what the splendor of heaven, what the splendor of New Jerusalem is really like. And it is the habitation of the king. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, Jerusalem, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. There in that particular psalm, in Psalm 48, I'm going to look at, you don't have to turn there if you don't choose to, but I'm going to look at the 15th verse in that psalm. I want you to hear this. I said the 15th verse, I meant the 8th verse. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever, Selah. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. One day, the things that we have heard about the city we're going to dwell in, where we will go to meet the King, we, the bride of Christ, his queen, will no longer hear about the splendors of that place, but our eyes will behold it.
Praise his holy name.
When she came, notice what she had with her in verse 2. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. I had this thought. Again, I don't know how the application may be accurate, but I thought to myself, when I go to that city, what will I bring to him? Yes. What will I bring? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through verse 13. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. When I go to the King's place, when I, part of the bride of Christ, go to be with the King, will I go bearing gold, silver, and precious stone to lay at his feet? Am I serving him in such a way? I'll be able to get his crowns at his feet. She did not go empty-handed.
That's right.
This queen came to the King of Jerusalem bearing precious gifts, and not a few, a train filled with precious gifts. Now here's something interesting. At the end of verse 2, we're told that when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. And at the end of verse 1, it says that she came to prove the king with hard questions. If I'm honest with myself, I have questions I want answered when I get to heaven. Don't you?
Yes, sir, preacher.
All of us have things that have happened in our lives. That we have struggled with. Things we do not know why God has allowed into our lives. And if I'm honest with you, there have been times I have questioned God. Why?
Yes, sir.
I go back and forth on this. There are times I think to myself, when I get to heaven, I'll have in the fullness that mind of Christ that we're told about in the book of 1 Corinthians. I know that we presently have the mind of Christ. We don't access it like we should, but we do have it. But there'll be no hidden sin blocking my walk with him, my relationship with him, as sometimes there is this side of heaven. But there are going to be some questions. There's going to be some hard questions. And I look at some of you, and I know what's going on in your life. And I know some of you don't understand why. This is a huge encouragement.
Yes, sir.
And I hope it will be a huge encouragement to you. And the reason I say that is because look at verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. You say, well, she was trying to one-up the king. She was asking, you know, calculus questions and, you know, questions of the sciences that would somehow fool or trip up the king. You know, that may be to a degree. But when I see the king in New Jerusalem, and he gives me the privilege, and he gives you the privilege, we're not going to concern ourselves with calculus,
right,
and biology. We're not going to be concerned about the sciences. But there may be some questions that we never had answered this side of earth. And when you sit down with him, it will be okay to ask. And he will not mind. And he'll tell you all that you need to know. Why did you let them die? Why did you let them suffer? Why did it seem you did not answer this prayer? And the king will tell you all your questions. And he'll bring you satisfaction to all your questions. And there will be nothing hid that the king will not tell you. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's this present time. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And I got to thinking about, how am I known by the King of the New Jerusalem? He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And Paul said, got news for you. Just as God knows you, God will allow you to have that same mind of Christ. And whatever questions, and I know this is a controversial statement that I'm making, so I won't build a doctrine on it. But if we do have a memory of life on this planet, it'll be there that all those questions will be answered. And they'll be answered to the fullest. When I was younger, my family sang together quite a bit. There was a song that we used to sing. The words go like this. Though shadows deepen and my heart bleeds, I will not question the way he leads. This side of heaven we know in part. I will not question a broken heart. This is the chorus. We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reasons. He'll tell me why. When we talk it over in the by and by. You remember that song? Anybody remember that song? We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reasons. He'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. Beautiful song.
Amen.
And you know what? After looking through this week, I think that song is accurate. I think God, in all his holiness and greatness, he is a great and dreadful God that we should fear. But he's also kind and loving and patient and gentle.
Glory to God.
And we get to call him Abba. He's daddy. You ever been in that position where you are going through so much, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't address him as the great and holy God who inhabits eternity? You don't come, our gracious heavenly Father. You just say this, daddy, daddy. Believe me, he is more than okay with that. More than okay. Now I want you to notice verse 4. Quit slobbering here. Verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, you know, there's going to come a day where we will see.
Yes.
Notice that expression. She saw the king in all of his wisdom. And we will see our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. When the queen entered into the halls of his palace, she saw his wisdom. We hear of his wisdom. We read of his wisdom.
Yes.
We ingest, if you will, into our spirit his wisdom. But brother, one day we get to see
yes.
his wisdom.
Praise you, Lord.
We get to see it. Notice the second part of verse 4. Sheba saw the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and the apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. Notice this phrase, and there was no more spirit in her. There are things that you and I cannot comprehend about the place we're going. How many of you try to imagine heaven? How many of you ever just sit around and try to imagine heaven? Okay, that's a natural thing. I remember, this is kind of weird, I remember riding the school bus when I was, I think, junior high, riding to the school bus to the school one morning, and I wanted to, like, experience hell. I just wanted to, be able to sense the horrors and the torment of what hell is really like. I couldn't fully comprehend that. But you know what is just as difficult to comprehend? Heaven. Heaven. But one day we're going to see it.
Praise you, Lord.
One day we're going to see it. And when we do, the same thing will happen to us, the bride of Christ, his queen, as happened to the queen of Sheba. There will be no more spirit in us. We will be overwhelmed. We will.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Revelation chapter 21 once again. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 10. Going to read here for a little while. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And now he begins to describe heaven, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed,
12,000 furlongs. And by the way, that's 1,338 miles. 1,338 miles in depth and in length. It'd be like from here to, I guess, Denver, Colorado. That's a pretty big city. The length and the breadth and the height are that are equal. And you measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, 216 feet high, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. When I pause here for a moment, I just have a hard time envisioning something made of pure gold.
Yes.
I'm a country boy at heart. Somebody, I think it was Paul Hickman, made the statement about, you know, pastors always using farmer illustrations. Well, that's because that's what I knew. I think, Brad, you grew up on a farm, and some others grew up in farm life. You know, that's kind of what you relate to. You go back to what you knew as a child. I'm used to green grass and trees and manure and all that. I don't think it ought to be in heaven. But anyway, you know, that's kind of where my mind goes. So I can't imagine something made of pure gold.
Amen.
I know that won't be the limit of it, but isn't that just hard to grasp? I mean, we don't see anything like that even this side of heaven at all. Anyway, you go on to verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second of sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophysis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. You can correct me later. The 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they, notice this, and they, not God, but they, shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I love that. He said, I just want you to understand this. These things are true.
Amen.
And he said, it's coming soon.
Yes.
It's coming soon. And you read that description. Trees that bear all manner of fruit and never ends. My wife planted, what is that, an elderberry bush? Is it elderberry? And it's really grown. I mean, that thing is really grown. And I didn't trim it this year. And I thought, great. It's bearing all kind. It's going to have all kind of elderberries on that thing. Well, part of it broke off. A large part of it just broke off. I guess the weight of the untrimmed branches caused it to twist and break. You know, that kind of stuff's not going to happen in heaven.
That's right.
We were talking in the teachers' meeting somehow about gardening, and the thought came up, I think it was in the teachers' meeting, and how, you know, last year was a drought and a lot of things didn't grow well. We always plant a garden every year up at Chris's house, and it did terrible last year with the bad weather, just didn't hardly grow anything. That's not going to happen in heaven.
That's right.
You know, it's really good. I'm not going to have to weed a garden in heaven. I'm not going to have to worry about beetles getting on the berries or on the plants and destroying. Those are things are never going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you. I really can't grasp it.
Yes.
I really can't grasp it.
That's right.
I really can't imagine it. But one day, you and I will be like the queen in Solomon's story. And when we see it in all of its splendor, there will be no more spirit in us. You and I will simply be overwhelmed.
Yes.
Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Then he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am,
yes, amen,
there ye, his bride, his queen, may be also."
Amen.
Let's finish this. And you can go home. Verse 6. "As he said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." We know what? This is our land. Right now, this side of heaven is our land. This is where we live right now. We're becoming more and more strangers and pilgrims in this land. And we do have a new citizenship. Our citizenship, as Philippians tells us, is in heaven.
That's right.
But we live here right now. And we hear reports. You are hearing a report tonight about that land, about that king, about our new home. And you and I are one day going to stand before the king like the Queen of Sheba did and say, "Jesus, it's a true report. Everything you said is true." Everything you said is true. Verse 7. "Howbeit, I believe not the words." Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. But again, if I'm honest, sometimes that thought will glaze across my mind. This, it can't be that good. It can't be that glorious. But when you get there, and when I get there, "I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it." And one day, you and I will see it for ourselves. You and I will see this report flesh out before us. And this is the little phrase that has, every time I've read through this passage, has always caught my eyes. "And behold, the half was not told me." Look, I can stand here, brother. Pharisees could come up here and stand here, and you know, as ministers of the gospel, we could try to explain to you what heaven is like, try to help you imagine the beauty of heaven. We really can't.
No, sir.
One day you're going to see it for yourself,
Amen.
And you're going to say, "That Pastor Vaughn didn't even come close to telling me what heaven was like."
That's right.
But one day we'll get to see it. Notice again verse 7. "I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." I know you love Jesus Christ. You know what? I don't think you'd be back tonight if you didn't love him. I don't think you'd be part of a independent, fundamental Baptist church in all of our hard-nosed ways if you didn't love him. I'm being serious about that. I think you love him. And as much as you love him, one day you'll have him just escort you and show you. this wonderful place. The Queen of Sheba said in verse 8, "Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." You realize one day when we get to heaven, much of our time, I don't really know if it's going to be all of our time, but much of our time will just be around his throne. Verbally hearing his wisdom. We won't read it anymore. The written word will be overpassed, if that's a right way to place this, by the living word, and he'll just speak his wisdom to us. And we'll be there. You won't have to put up with me, my long-windedness. And I know I'm a long-winded preacher, and I admit it. And I'm not changing. I'm an old man, and this is just the way I am, okay? No, wait, that's the wrong place to say amen. But anyway, no, I'm just teasing. You will never get tired of hearing Jesus.
That's wrong.
You will never get tired of hearing his wisdom. Never. Verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel." You know who's going to sit on the throne of Israel one day? Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He is described in the New Testament as the King of righteousness, the King of the Jews, the King of Israel. And again, "Blessed be Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." One day Jesus Christ will sit on that throne and rule his chosen people Israel and those of us who have been brought into his kingdom by way of the blood covenant.
Amen.
What a great day that'll be.
Yes, sir.
There's a phrase that I don't like, but one day it might actually be okay to say it. You say, what phrase is that? This little saying that goes this way, "I'll believe it when I see it." Now, that's not a statement of faith. And yet, when you get to heaven, maybe it'll be okay to say that. "I'll believe it when I see it," because at that moment you will. And sometimes when it's so hard to grasp how great heaven and its king is, and how hard it is to grasp that we are that queen, that bride of Christ, that he will one day have a marriage supper for us and welcome us as his bride into his kingdom. Sometimes as hard as that is to grasp, one day you're going to stand there and say, "It's really happened. It's real." That's what you're going to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Because that's what the Queen of Sheba did when she entered into Jerusalem and saw the king and all of his wisdom and splendor. One day you and I will have, I believe, that same reaction. I close with this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 9th and the 10th verses. I think you know these verses. "But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eye hasn't seen yet, but we begin to see as we keep our nose in this book."
Amen.
So no, I don't think Jeff Vaughn can fully grasp the splendor of heaven, this side of heaven. But what a blessing.
Yes.
It was to take an Old Testament passage.
Praise you, Lord.
About a queen that's been long dead, that went to a city that had been later destroyed, and see the parallels between that Jerusalem and the new Jerusalem to come, between that queen and the queen that God has made us as his bride. Every time you pick up this book, heaven becomes a little more precious.
Yes, sir.
Savior becomes a little more precious.
Amen.
The desire to go there is a little more intense. This always impresses me in the book of Hebrews when Abraham, who was given the land of Canaan, became disinterested in it. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, he sought a better city. Well, I can tell you exactly what that city was. It's the city of heaven. It's that new Jerusalem. That's what happens. And for some of you who have walked many years with the Lord, have been faithful to read this book, and have been faithful to love him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So for those of you who are younger, be faithful to read this book. Be faithful to walk in the Holy Spirit. Be faithful to believe him. You can't make heaven any more real than it is, but it can become more real to us as we just take time to grasp it and contemplate it and love it. So I just wanted to share that with you tonight.
Praise you, Lord.
There's an old hymn that I haven't heard sung for years. The Savior has come in his mighty power and spoken peace to my soul. And all of my life from that very hour, I've yielded to his control. I've yielded to his control. You remember that? Oh, it is wonderful. It is marvelous and wonderful what he has done for my soul. The half has never been told. Oh, it is wonderful. It is marvelous and wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to forget those last words. What Jesus has done for this soul of mine, the half, there's that voice problem again, the half has never been told. I'm still having trouble with my voice. But notice the end of that old hymn takes the line from 1 Kings chapter 10. The half has never been told. We don't even come close to knowing what we have waiting for us.
Praise
the splendor we have waiting for us. But I hope this will just make it a little more tantalizing for you tonight as we've looked at this Old Testament passage. I hope it does. I don't know if it will or not. But it sure has been nice for me anyway. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I know we're just a group of born-again people here tonight. I know your testimonies. I know you love the Lord. But maybe just take a little bit of time before you walk out these doors just to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you what's prepared for me. Thank you what I will have for all of eternity. I'm just going to have that song play that I spoke about a little while ago. You take time to praise and praise.
Oh, shadows deepen, and my heart bleeds. I will not question the way he leads. This side of heaven, we know in part.
know that chorus, just sing along with me.
We'll talk it over.
Stand together. We'll pray together. Well, I hope this is an encouragement tonight to you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you just reminded me of this week. You're sure a good God. You're sure worthy of our praise and our love and our obedience and our service. Because we have all eternity to enjoy your splendor. So help us be faithful to you here as we anticipate being with you forever. Pray you just give people safety going home now. Ask, Father, that you would give them a good week, help them to be pleasing to you, and we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.